July 15th, Community of the Whole, Village of Round Lake.
Had some some information for me because they did the same thing on the East Coast where he's from. And what it did was that they filled a void where there was a steel mill at that went. That we lost that manufacturing job. And what it is that it'll turn out just fine. It's just taking, it's government always rolls a little bit slow, especially the feds. And in this particular case, they're just following suit as usual. I'd like you to keep this on the committee of the whole for the next few meetings until I can come back and we actually have something to bring forth to the regular board meeting. We can vote on it, hopefully we get what we need to do.
Yes,
please, I appreciate it.
Can we give a quick synopsis for those that are here tonight so they know what you're talking about?
Okay. The incubator program is a program that the federal government, when people apply for new businesses, like right now, we have a portion of this building, which is the annex over here, that is completely empty. What will happen is, say, for instance, like you had a small business that you would like to start and you needed business space for it, we would in turn give you that space to work with. And all you need to do is to handle the utilities and the normal things, but you pay no rent. And it sort of gives you an opportunity to get started right here in Round Lake. And not only that, the only catch to it is that when you're done, we'd like for you to come and see our zoning commissioners, and they will sit back and say, okay, they'll do the same thing what they did with Mr. Hernandez tonight, and say, okay, let's have a business here in Round Lake. And you'll move out, and you go there, and you now got your business started, and you have your whole business base right here in Round. It works for everybody. It's a win-win situation. The village gets the new business, and we help the new business get started, which is a good thing. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Fry. Thank you, Mr. Bauer, for your input and help on that. Nothing listed under human resource and finance. Public Works.
Yes, I'm going to defer Ron to you on the trucks, on the half-ton sub truck, and kind of just look at the
issue. Thank you, Mayor, members of the board. Just very briefly, these are the budget items. One and a half ton dump truck, a slightly bigger dump truck than what we have currently being one ton, is in the budget at $70,000, and our fleet of one ton is indicated is 12 years old for the older ones. Their gasoline engines, they've served their purpose, and they're becoming more and more higher maintenance items, and winter operation is not a kind operation. So our intention is to purchase a 1.5-ton chassis from the state central management services cooperative purchasing, joint purchasing program, and then bid out the configuration of the chassis, i.e. dump body, snow plow, salt spreader, lights, so on and so forth, competitively, as there are specialty companies that do that type of work. So looking for authorization to go forward and make a commitment to purchase the chassis, and at the same time, bid out a specification for the functional component for this truck, such that we would have it ready for the first location.
So, just to clarify a question, you're fairly confident that we can do that for less than
$70,000. I'm going to say from our shop this round, we will be right at about that $70,000. Hopefully I'm not the low bidder. I think we'll consider most of the $70,000.
And you're looking for this to be a diesel powered?
This would be diesel, four-wheel drive. And the type vehicle was on the state contract for Ford F-550s. If you're driving around, look for the emblem on the side. Much stouter, much greater torque, have capability to give us much, much better control of salt application than our current GMC one.
So going back to the city solutions, is this beneficial to our, how is it beneficial to people with the vehicle rather than the gas engine?
Much greater torque, pulling power.
And will it be accessible for us to obtain?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what, like, off hours, whatever, we will be able to refuel.
We have a 500-gallon diesel tank there at Public Works, so that would, until such time as we cut a deal with the school district for fueling needs,
so we have permission to move forward on that? The board is feeling comfortable? $70,000.
Not to exceed.
Slip in the ice.
Yes. Liquid chemicals for ice control and the very briefly outlined is becoming more and more popular because of greater effectiveness compared to rock salt. We have very, very limited liquid de-icing capability. If one of the 5-yard dump trucks has a small 75-gallon tank and the tank guard has a 100-gallon tank, re-blending the rock salt that comes out of the back of the truck. Our most effective way to fight is an anti-icing, and we have no capability to do that. Just slipping the ice will give us a start. There's a spray bar on the back end of this, if you will, salt container unit that splits in and connects up in a matter of about 20 minutes. To go out and spray liquid chemicals in advance of anticipated icing conditions to prevent the thawing of ice to the pavement, making it safer and much easier to clean up at the end. These are commercially manufactured units. There are several companies that market them. I would not put it in on you. 1.5 months when I thought about it. We'll put in one of the newer ones. I'd be happy to answer questions. One last comment, it is in the budget.
We've had this issue for the last, how many years now, about not being properly prepared from the more proactive point of view. I think this gives us a much better proactive attempt to take care of icing on our streets.
Here, Ron, just one question on the budget model. We have $500 budgeted. Are we anticipating that the item will cost exactly that, or have there been some?
The quotes that I received from the dominant manufacturer, Monroe equipment, was about $6,800. So, yes, I'm at Comfort. The Atlas equipment was $7,500.
Ron, does this, how's the cost effectiveness compared to applying the liquid de-icer to Repsol?
Well, as anticipation of that question, I have one sentence in my write-up that says there are too many variables in the evolution. Some municipalities have gone totally away from Repsol. We have a good arrangement right now with Wake County Division of Transportation. We have a very sophisticated blending process, and we get it at a much reduced rate. I do not want to assume that that will last forever. At some point, I envision we would have our own salt brine baking facility. Pretty simple, as long as you control how much rock salt you put in, how much water you put in, and how you blend it. We can buy calcium chloride in bulk, and should we stay with beet juice, which is a question, not a statement, we buy that and blend. So lots of, I know where I want to go, but it's premature for me to say we will get out of use. And the cost again, what the application rate liquid, what the application rate for rock salt drives to which one is less expensive.
This I use the
Oh. But my question is, have you used the beet juice at this point?
We have obtained our liquid chemicals from Wake County. About 3 years ago, we got a load from Warren Township. And those are our options for us. Wake County Division of Transportation, depending on the storm event, they're gearing up the site. They will vary how much salt brine, how much calcium chloride, how much salt.
Rock salt for the liquid that we obtained last week.
I think you did a very good job last year.
$160 for just about so next game for $7,000 gallons is put to the ice cream that we used.
Did that work for me?
Obviously, this will evolve into something different. As we're just right now looking forward to move forward on the de-icer for the $7,500, and then hope that at some point in time we can have a facility here to create our own magic potion, which will be for topic later. Any other questions on that? Park Road update. We're going to be forward on this, yes, correct? Everybody?
Yes.
Can I get Park Road update? Thank you.
Park Road? Park Road. Park Road is not anything new as such. For an update, we did talk about the interaction with the industrial area.
We did.
Yes, okay. So, Kurt Bowman and the designer, from Factor, Woodman and I will be getting together this week. This thought in more definition of the phasing of the Park Road Sunset project to be as prescriptive as we can, but also to recognize that bidding contractors will have their own ideas as to how fast to move this project. When I just say, I'm saying we need to be clear how long each closure period can be at the maximum within the overall performance period, which we need to define the definition of start to finish, how many months, how long the day, whatever. So the devil's in the detail that we're about to embark on.
When we talked about this last time, did Chief Gillette, did you talk to him about this Park Road thing?
Just talking about the Park Road. Okay. I don't know what his initial plans were when we talked to him last year. Okay.
As long as when we finally come back to actually have to think about voting on that, I want to make sure that you and the fire department are happy. Because on the other side of Park Road over there, I got a box over there that I go home to every night.
Thank you.
And so does the mayor from here.
Okay. Yeah, and for the record, what Ron had mentioned, we did have an initial meeting with the industrial park business owners to talk about how this is going to impact their businesses, how trucks can get in and out of the industrial parks while this construction's going on. So this is going to evolve to a few steps further, make sure emergency vehicles, et cetera, we have to worry about the school bus barn is back there. So there's a lot of transportation issues that we're organizing to make sure that this can go forward as smoothly as possible, safely as possible, and as organized as possible. Any other discussions? Trailer mounted hot box quote. If I recall, I believe this item is not ready for discussion.
I'm sorry, please.
The trailer mounted hot box quotes.
We didn't discuss it in the meeting.
Can we move it?
I do not know what I submitted made it into the agenda pass.
I'd like to just we'll carry this one forward. I don't think it's ready for discussion at this point. In the Fairfield Road Water Main Project Engineering Services.
and that one is not ready for tonight.
Thank you, Ron. Mm-hmm. Anything else for this public course? Trustee?
No, sir.
Thank you. Special events, National Night Out.
We're well on our way, Mr. Mayor. We have one setback specified as a public, but they cannot do the movie this year. That's going to be a good plan, so we'll report back soon. We otherwise, everything's ready to go, with the exception of the movie. Baker's Landscape is going to donate the snow cone machine again this year. Everything else, business as usual.
Chief, if you could, just for, we have an audience here, if you could just give a brief outline of National Night Out.
Every year on the first Tuesday of August, we celebrate National Night Out Against Crime. Everybody in the community is welcome to come. Bring your families. It's a family-oriented event. Little hot dogs, popcorn, snow cones, and just spend a few hours in a crime-free atmosphere. We will come back with a small car show, and also we're hoping that a movie to show up. Usually it'll start at 5, get over sometime between 7 and 8. So a balloon guy for making balloon animals. It's a day that we set aside to celebrate.
What time will it start? What time will it start?
5 p.m. Because it's at the police department, 741 West Tumblr.
Now, this is one of these events that our village offers, and the big thing that it needs is word of mouth. You know, we can talk about it and post it on the webpage, but this is something that friends and neighbors got to get together and say, hey, you know, let's take part of this. So anything that you can do, please do.
It's a great hot dog night.
Hot dogs are good.
Yeah.
It really is the bomb. If you can make it, please try it. You'll enjoy it.
It's a great way for kids to interact, not just with all of us in the village itself, but with the police department.
Yeah.
You know, they have to feel the safety of our police. They have to know that they're friends first and that they can count on them and approach them. This is such a wonderful event to have that happen because it's all done in the spirit of fun. So we hope that you'll mention to other families that have children to come out for this. They can skip the dinner at home and come on out to get hot dogs. There's chips and there's drinks and just have some fun with us. That's what's so wonderful.
I forgot to mention we have a total show, and that's worth coming.
We should probably try that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Home Contest.
I'd like to reminder, meeting this Thursday, 6 p.m., Bill's office. Anybody that would like to attend that meeting?
Again, another thing, please say as well, word of mouth is the best thing about this. It's for our community, it's for you. Take part of it, please attend. And take part of planning, too. We invite you, please. Thank you, Vicki. Building and zoning.
Okay. Got quite a few things. First thing in front of you is a new business that's approached us for a Puka Lounge. We got this request about a month ago. I had no idea what it was. All my years of running villages, I haven't seen one of these. So I contacted the gentleman, and he is here tonight. He sent me his business plan, which you have in front of you. And mayor myself went to Wakanda today to go take a look at theirs. Unfortunately, it's closed. They open up at 6 or 6:30 in the evening. We did stop off at the village hall and talk to the building official there and the young lady who was there.
Community development coordinator.
And both of them said that as far as they knew, they had no problems, haven't heard of any problems. It's right there on 176 and 59 and Main Street, the standalone building. It's not very big, not very much parking. But so far, it's I guess it's been running all right. There's another one in Grays Lake, and there's another one in Gurnee, and there's one in Waukegan at this present time. So, you got the deck in front of you. I asked the gentleman to be here tonight. He can make a little presentation, and you can ask him questions, because like I said, I'm with you guys. This would end up being, I think, a special use permit if we want to grant him a business license, because we don't have anything that covers this under our present zoning code. So
we don't have a code for tobacco shops or
not that we could find.
So this is usually these type of things are special use permits. I think you ought to do that because depending on how they operate, where they operate. Now the one thing we did hear today from the people of Wakanda, which we did not know about, the gentleman there thought that there might be some state regulations on this. And I didn't know that, so I would have to do some homework tomorrow just to see. Do you know of any state regulations?
No.
I didn't either, and I said I was on the internet when you first contacted me to get what I could, but there wasn't a heck of a lot on the internet. Outside of a couple of business popping up, and I think 19 in Chicago or 29 in the Chicago land area. There's a lot now in that area. So I'm new at this. I'm not sure where the board wanted to go with this. So I'm going to throw it over to the floor and make your presentation.
I couldn't write things quickly to the agenda, and I was about it, and I'm I'm with you. Let me talk about 2 minutes about ourselves. My son and my family grew up in Ground Lake. The original former founder, I was born in Mexico.
Just so glad. Could you give us your address, please?
2174 North Stone Edge, Ground Lake Beach, Illinois.
Thank you.
We're right behind the wall of the Kmart. When my son approached me in joining the business, same thing. I know everyone. Okay. I'm a soccer coach. I coached for the Chicago Kicker for over 12 years. That's my main sport. I play soccer. I just go out playing sports. Field coaching for the Chicago Kickers. So I'm going to start this. This is something for my son who wants to do a business. But it's curious about that. I was kind of scared. I didn't know what it was. So I started doing a lot of research. Going through what it is, what it does. And I find out there is it's good enough in kids who they find something different in bars. I'll let my son explain what it is because, like I said, I went in there, find out what it is. I did a lot of the legal stuff, but find out what is the state regulation because kids confused for a small regulation for the state and what it could if you have any questions, we'll try to answer. And you got a business plan that I printed out and forward to I'll let my son explain it to himself.
I'm Carlos Jr. The idea came about because, obviously, I also grew up in this town. I graduated from the high school here. And when I turned 18, you know, I saw a lot of people getting into the wrong type of thing. And the way that we went to the riot was the hookah. So the problem was we were going to Wakanda. That was our spot. We go to Wakanda, you know, every other weekend. And so it hit me, you know, try to be something that we could use in our town. They also used to have friends there. I have a lot of friends who are, you know, local artists, they like to perform, and also they would be making next to themselves in other parts of town. They go to the Waukegan one, they go to the Great Lake one. I said to myself, we could also offer them a place because then they are here more in the town. I think for the town itself, it is profitable, which means tax dollars for you guys. think it's an all-around good idea. If you guys have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. I don't know how familiar you guys are with Abruzzo, or exactly what it does.
We were hoping you brought one in.
You know what, I actually to bring one in, but... We wouldn't curse.
Yeah.
I didn't get a picture and say, oh, the business plan.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay, and I think a little bit of that comes from back on India.
Culture.
They have that in their coffee shops. And they still, this day, they still use it. And in downtown Chicago, they have that in the coffee shop where they use the hookah. Old timers, what we call it, right? They go there and they talk and they drink coffee and they smoke that. It's like, I play poker with my friends, and they smoke cigars, right? I don't smoke, and just with friends, we smoke cigars and relax a little bit. So it's a similar idea probably to the Indian culture, basically. And for the last 20 years, across the U.S., and it's been growing up around the college neighborhood. They do a lot of hookah around the colleges, and, we've got John professional are doing it as well. It's a new relaxing kind of come up. And there's more alcohol related to a lot of people out to work and stuff like that. They go to bars, they're like lobbying, you know, people drinking and stuff like that. So they start finding these coffee shops, hookah lounges. Go there with a group of friends, talk about the day, relax. Like I say, that was new for me as well. But in the end, we talk, and I get a lot of interest from to me, it's a good idea. And especially being motivated for my older son, and be here in town. I noticed today there's none of the Spanish here today, which is very rare being around me, a lot of Spanish population in the area. He was talking about the Jose.
Mm-hmm.
He knew about it once he filed, actually. More about the vaccine, and there's a lot of good things in here. A lot of Spanish people, they can know about this meeting. I really enjoyed the meeting today. I was talking with my wife. I used to have a business in Wakanda, and the answer is that I never came to this meeting. And this meeting just opened my eyes, opened my mind, and this is great. I think the community should know about this more often. I think a business like that, they can bring good to the community, all communities, to not do something bad for us. But we'll bring one next time you would like to take a look at, so you can see it. But if you got any questions, we will try to answer.
Go ahead. I'm going to let you go first. I yield to you.
First of all, thanks to you for getting super innovative and new ideas into the village and causing our staff of research to find a deal. That's great. You know, but you have something new in the project. I am an ex-tobacco smoker, like 10 years over, so I'm always terrified of the whole thought of going back to getting it. But I will read your business plan because the hookah just looks so cool and interesting. You see in movies, but yeah. The FDA probably is in the wrong way
movies.
Yeah. You're not going to be doing
obviously
that.
Obviously,
no. But you mentioned in there,
no,
if they
use
these
batteries,
these fruits.
Yeah, it's well, you know, when you're a small business cigarette, what you get addicted to is the nicotine.
Yeah.
In the hookah, if you don't have nicotine, you're not addicted to it. It's the tobacco, you don't inhale it. You don't take a hit as you would in
the
fruit is it's in the tobacco already. Flavor of it. It comes flavor. So, like I said, it doesn't contain nicotine, and it's not addicting, and as you did with the cigar, you're not supposed to take the hit into your lungs. You literally just hold it in and let it right back.
And that smells good, you're going to take the hit.
Good.
I have not smoked in almost 10 years, or maybe it has been 10 years now. It's been wake up thinking I was smoking. It terrified me. I'm like, did I really just smoke? I'm like, no, I'm breathing. But that's why I kind of want to swing. So this might be out of your realm a little bit. I don't know, because I come from the church background. So then if you do the hookah, can you still put that you have not used any tobacco products? Oh, no, you can't put the tobacco products.
Yes,
so you still have to say that you are a smoker and so forth. There's no way just to do this, play fruit in there?
It can be just one for you.
I just can't get that tobacco after having had that in so many years.
Yeah.
It's really scares me.
It all depends. Shisha comes, which is what you're putting in there.
Yeah.
Shisha comes in all different flavors and purees and what have you that goes in there. And you can get some that are only fruit. Right. This time last year, I happened to be sitting at the one that's in Miami, where they got 4,000 seats at. Old guy like me having a great time, because I like to party. And the bottom line was that tonight, before I got ready to come here, number one daughter, little Laura, decided all of a sudden to say, Daddy, make sure that you go further than that. Why? Because it's important. Because she's been to all of these that's on their business plan. The only thing about it is that we need something like this here. And the reason being is that young people like to come to this with it. Like in the case with this, you have to be 18 or older. This is the driving set that comes. Most of them do not smoke cigarettes. That's the first thing. And it's not addictive like the way that everybody would think it is. This is not 1970 where they had this other stuff they put in. But I think it's a good thing.
What's a good alternative? Are you maybe that are looking to smoke cigarettes or do the tobacco kind of is a cool thing?
Right, and they listen to music and the one that's in Florida, they even got a dance floor in the place. So I mean it's not like they're all sitting around. They do sit because you sit and smoke, but they're all sitting around talking and enjoying themselves.
Yeah, included in the business plan, it'd be a somewhat small thing where you get together and you go with friends, like you said, we won't necessarily have a dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we can get out, walk around.
Right.
And you said that someone put your value, but it went to the market all around here.
Right.
One thing that I really wanted to bring to this one was the customer service. Because you think, well, it's just at the dorms.
Mm-hmm.
But I pride myself in my customer service. Actually, I worked at a bank here in town. Actually, at their bank, I used to work there as well. So I pride myself in customer service, which is something that I want to bring to this as well, to attract even people from the outside that come here. Because when you go to the one in Wakanda, the customer service is no good. Mohegan, same thing. Great, slick, is terrible. That's why I want to be above and beyond them to also attract customers from surrounding towns to come out.
Absolutely. So, in addition to your customer service, what other, I noticed you mentioned that some of the draws are the number of flavors, so how is it that you think you're going to succeed or draw customers away from some of these other places besides just the customers?
Customers are different flavors. You go to other ones, and I like this flavor. Oh, we're out of that flavor. We like this flavor. We're out of that flavor. Oh, can I have this drink? Oh, we're out of that. Variety. It's the main thing. And what I think that most people don't really think about is music. I think music is key. I mean, most people might not agree with me, but I mean, you go to one, and it's the environment that you're in. You're going to go in, if you don't like the music, if you don't like the environment you're in, you're not going to go back. So that's one thing that I think I'm also very in the now. The music that's good now, the flavors that are good now, with what people look for to a place like that.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask some totally different questions.
Sure.
Well, inquiring minds running out. I've never been to a hookah. This is all the buzz up here, so I've got lots of questions. First, I do love that you're bringing something totally out of the box to us, new and refreshing, and something I think that would be very interesting. And I think the interest in something new like this is going to be, a draw to do. How do we get assurances that nothing that shouldn't be in the bowl is in the bowl?
Now, I am totally okay with, I don't know what procedures could be taken, but I mean, if I know what I would be putting in the bowl would be just shisha, that's what it's called, the tobacco venture is called shisha. There could be any checks that you guys would want to do. I mean, I don't necessarily know beforehand any idea like what to do.
And this
I'm going to yield to the market. I'm just explaining how the process starts when they buy the product.
I was going to cover that. By the tobacco, we need to get a tobacco license, which is approved by the village. We'll have actually a waiter to serve to the table. If the only person who will be able to touch the hookah to serve the shisha be our employee or ourselves. They cannot refill their own hookah or the mouth tips. Okay? If they need a refill, we have that. Well, we're going to have two or three employees on the floor walking around their tables and asking, like, when you go to the restaurant so far, do you want a refill? We bring it back to our area. We prepare again a new shisha, a new flavor, they want a new flavor, and bring it back out. Okay? They assume that the thing is prepared and is working on the table, they cannot put anything in there. But if you think they want to put something they're not supposed to, because when we filter to water, like if you want to worry about drugs, for example, when you go through to the water, it will not work because of the system of the hookah. So, but anyway, it won't be permitted in there because we'll be certain that we can prepare the hookah for each individual.
Now, in the business plan on the picture of the hookah, I don't believe it shows the actual foil covering it.
No.
So, another way that you know it because the foil doesn't come undone. You could tell. The way I do mine is I put rubber bands at the where it kind of meets, where we directly hold the bowl when it is. But there's small rubber bands that I pull over that cover it. Mm-hmm. So there's no... And there's cold sitting on top of it. Now, you do give the customer the tongs to ash off the foam, but they can't open the foil. So they can't put anything else in there. Because it is covered and it stays covered. They're pre-made in the bag. So when you need a refill, you take the whole hookah bag and put in a new one. And then we would take care of taking off the rubber band and putting the shisha again.
If they put
pot
on the top of the
coals,
they wouldn't be able to smoke it.
Oh, okay.
It's just
come out
in the atmosphere. The way these things work, they don't start on fire because they don't have oxygen. They smoke, they smoke burning leaves that keep that on fire.
Okay, well that's one good item. Second, just because I'm a mom and I would ask this question. What are the cleaning, how do you clean this? How do you assure that, you know, this mouthpiece is ready for the next, again, never been there?
No. Great question. The way that the tobacco usually comes and how we always have are disposable mouthpieces that every person has at the table. So let's say you come on a group of four. You get however many hookahs you want. If you want a hookah by yourself, you can do that. If you want to share one of the four hoses, that's completely fine. But you come with each disposable mouthpiece. The hose itself has a little plastic mouthpiece that will be integrated into the tip. That's what you'll use. And then once you take your turn, you take it out and that person will go. So it's a little disposable mouthpiece that you use.
Okay. And then the apparatus itself gets cleaned on a regular basis?
Yes, there are cleaners for the hookahs, yes.
Okay. And do you think you will be looking in the future to add like coffee and whatnot, or are you just staying right now?
Depends on the environment of where we put it. This one itself is more attractive for college students, so coffee not so much. This one is more attractive for like, you know, either energy drinks, such as Gatorade, Monster, Red Bull, and you know, soft drinks, Coke, Pepsi, coffee, stuff like that, and then snacks, you know, and then I guess Kit Kat, stuff like that.
And the high or
relaxing.
Okay.
Yeah.
From the
mouth,
like, sugar high
and relaxing. And me and Dad go back in the back and smoke some real cigars.
Is that machine?
Oh, okay. We'll just walk out the back and smoke.
Speaking of that, what are we going to do to, well, we cannot allow others tobacco products to be smoked on the premise, correct? Are you a tobacco smoker? Cigarettes?
No.
But you hookah?
I hookah.
Your friends are good. Are they smokers?
No.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm smokers.
Yes, they're
smokers. Yeah.
She doesn't smoke.
Yeah.
I actually did try a cigarette on my 21st birthday, and wasn't for me.
That was going to be my next.
No, I didn't do that. I just had a good morning for my birthday. I've been in the sport for a long time, and Sarah, been in the sport for a long time. Adam Small, we like to be at coach soccer. I still coach soccer. My daughter's Stan, and I really, U23, he still plays soccer. The Chicago Kickers, and one of them kind of like a thing. No, that's our team. So that's why Peter Small, Adam Small, and that was how
Yeah,
I mean,
like
I played soccer
too in
high school as well, but I was never a smoker. I
didn't
hookah. I mean, I guess, yeah, I never was a cigarette smoker.
That's my question. The people that go to your hookahs that are not smokers, I mean, anybody that's ever smoked a cigarette, first time you turn green and cough, and it's a horrible experience, but tobacco is a wonderful narcotic that does its job very well, and you go back to it for some sick reason. But is, number one, is the experience of the hookah anywhere near as harsh? And do you have the craving to return to it afterwards?
No. You don't have the craving to return to it. I use it to relax. Completely different. I don't smoke the hookah and then go to work and say, I need to smoke hookah. I smoke the hookah, go to work, and get a lot worse and stressful. I'm going to go home and do it. It's completely different. It's not addictive. So, it's not as harsh. What you do is when you do come in, actually, when you ID, you do have to, I mean, obviously you get some of your customers, but you do have to, this is your first time here. No, it's not. They don't have to. We'll probably see them down you on the way. This is your first time here? Yes. Okay, that's when you explain to them not to take in the tobacco. Yes, yes, you will start coughing.
You only do it once.
I'm sorry?
You only do it once.
Yeah.
I don't use more research to see whether it's just made for water vapor, so I don't know if it's see any, but like I said, I am a blood expert in this, so I'm just more investigating.
And I think that's an issue for the whole thing. Everything we can so that it's accepted for you as it can be.
Yep. Well, I'd like to do it before. I mean, it doesn't sound like anybody's having any problems with this. I don't get it there. You get it. Figure out how to fit into the zoning code or special use permit, what we're going to do with this, and break this up. And then we'll bring it back before we're final through the passage. But before we start the process, I just wanted to make sure everybody was on board with it. And
I just have one small question. Sure. So, why the name Ghost?
Ghost is actually another thing with hookah is you actually can do tricks with it. The smoke comes out, because you don't inhale the tobacco, the smoke that comes out is an actual thick smoke that you can use to do tricks. I mean, you can make clothes, you can make a tornado. A ghost is when you let the smoke come out and make a big cloud, and then just comes right back in when you let it out again. So it's just like a trick that you would handle. Yes.
Okay.
You know, when we first heard this, my first reaction was, come on, you gotta be kidding me. And one thing that we promised was that Round Lake would be a more business-friendly place. So Russ and I started doing a lot of research, and I've had a lot of conversation. I happened to run into the ex-mayor of Waukegan, Bob Sabanja. And he talked about revitalization of Genesee Street. Before when it was bad, the naval base was banned from going to Genesee Street. They cleaned it up. They fixed the problems. Genesee Street is now thriving. It's a good business opportunity. There's a lot of traffic there. The crime has gone away. The ban from the naval base was lifted, but they didn't come back in. They lost that business. until somebody came in and opened a hookah lounge. And they got all of that business back. And they haven't had any trouble with them. The business in Graves Lake, they haven't had any trouble with them. We went to Wakanda today. We talked to Linda Paniak, who is their community development coordinator. Her son hookahs and goes to Graves Lake and Wakanda. And the more of these things that are popping up, now we have them in our area, I would like to share in some of that traffic coming in around Lake. It's clean. People aren't getting in trouble. There's not alcohol. What I thought was at first something that I wanted to resist, the more I research it and the more I look into it, it's a viable business that's going to bring people in to our community, and I'm going to embrace it. We do need to do more research, as Trustee Trifon said, to do everything we can to ensure your success.
Right.
One of the things I'm going to encourage you today is a couple things that we found out, and we'll do more research on it. I believe the administrator of Wakanda said 75 or 80% of the revenue generated had to be from tobacco sale.
Well, that's what their thing. That's what their ordinance says.
That's their ordinance.
That's their ordinance. Not for right of line, but that's what they have as a basis for their lounge or their special use permit.
Okay.
But you don't have to do that.
All right. But the other thing,
yeah.
They also said that they found a state restriction that says it has to be in a standalone building. Where you're looking at putting the business. I don't know if this is factual or not, but this is a conversation we just had today, so pardon me.
Yeah, he thought it was. He said it might have been changed. He didn't know, but I said, well, I have to do research.
I'm sure I interrupted there. What happened was, I did a lot of research from because especially with all the non-smoking and improving plate. That was the first way I understand a little bit more. And if you look at the Gurney, right? Wakiga and Graves Lake, they're businesses next to
Israel. Right. I know the one in Graves Lake is, it's a strip mall.
It's a strip mall.
Yeah.
Right. Around that where it was used to cell phone built in there, and that's where they put it in there. That's why it's alone. And maybe that was his thinking. But it's not in the law. I think
that could be their ordinance too. So I
could have been there too.
Yeah. So I will look. Tomorrow I'm going to go online and I'm going to look and get to the state. Because I know the state has a special business license place online that they have a special code to use. So I will do some investigating. And if I find anything different, I will let everybody know by email. It's okay where he wants. You talked about going by East over there still?
Yeah, because we were looking at the building over in the discotheca, and there's somebody else. Because of the problems with the hookah, and I was going to case. So now we look into the buildings next to the Ace Tower, between the Ace Tower and the Bolly Alley.
The last one, what was that before?
It's the one next to the
that's going to raise one issue that we're going to have to work out. There is no place for signage up on the street. And that has been an issue that even Manuco's dealt with. So we as the board are going to have to
look at becoming creative again
and finding out how we can help them in that area, because certainly they need to be found. Because the property out front is either owned by the bowling alley or Ace Hardware. And neither has been very helpful in wanting to give space for someone else to put their signage.
The zoning code usually states with signage, you can X amount for frontage on the street. Well, I think because most of that whole shopping center has been empty most of the time, so over the years. Right. So, consideration. We probably can sit down. I don't think it's going to be a hard thing to do. It's going to be a matter of figuring out where the signage can go and all that will allow them. And most people end up making a determination on it and changing that easily or not. But we got to figure out exactly where it's going to go and how much they're going to want for signage to work on something. Yes, we have to. If they're going to put a new business in, they've got to be able to advertise somewhere.
So be patient with us as we work all the detail out.
Yeah, because we drive around and we actually want to do it in Round Lake. we can do all the physical exercises at the beginning, if we get to do it, but I wouldn't mind something in this close to the strength station, because let's see, a lot of young professionals who walk this, and we can walk into the rest of the strength station. So if you have any buildings that we have missed, if you have any idea, and any buildings that can work,
call me tomorrow.
Okay.
Call me tomorrow. We can sit down and talk to you about other locations.
Okay. If you've got information, we'd really appreciate it, because we haven't done issues with signage and finding buildings. We actually, when we're looking at the building across the street from next to the A-Tire, that one is in the postal system and stuff like that, we're looking for all the new parking.
Looking for parking,
but I don't think you're going to have a big enough space in there, because those are very small.
Right. Yeah, very small, yeah.
It's not
going to
work for you.
Yeah.
But the parking would be your biggest spot, because that's where they're not parallel parking. I think there's only four or six spaces out there.
Exactly. And we were very afraid to open up business, and I know, because we know that stuff's got trimmed off.
Right.
We've losing a lot of business over the years, but we can't find a building there. If you can find a building, that's great. I personally love that building.
We just want to provide
the option. No, I it is absolutely great. The only reason I say that is because the one in Great Lake, I don't remember seeing signage for it. Actually, the one in Great Lake is a building that's facing away from everything.
Right.
So, I mean, you can see all the signage, and then there's a door that you can hear. You can't even see it. So, I mean, signage would help, and options would help. But, I mean, if it wasn't another solution, I am totally comfortable with that. I really like that action.
So who's the thoughtful for location that fits all the needs and all of the really well so that we can test it? So I think I have a mind where you might be going with it. So call me tomorrow.
I will. I'll get you for me.
Just one pretty much just to see.
Right. I just don't want anyone to think that I have doubt in the location that we really have.
Right.
I mean, whoever the building is, we can all make it repeat, yeah, but just so there's no doubt.
Well, what's good about back there is there's so much more parking.
That's what we really like, because that was a problem. And what happened when we're having to park at church on the street, right to it.
Mr. Silvano, I'd like to thank you for your presentation. Your business plan is very informative. Thanks for coming out. Please be in touch with us. We're going to work hard for you to make sure that your business comes.
We're very hard.
Thank you.
I was really the first one in a very direct
view. I appreciate your response.
Thank you for all your help.
No problem.
Thank you, Sid. Thank you, board. Thank you, Sid. Thank you. Have your information before I go.
Thank you. Thank you. Like I said, business number one. That's our goal. Okay, next item is just strictly, I put in front of you an ordinance tonight. First, we've been talking about reviewing the grass cutting weed ordinance. The first page is actually what we already have. I didn't touch anything on there right now. The second page is completely rewritten. We did not have anything to do with vacant or abandoned properties. The fine, the penalties before were so out of whack, you had to be an accountant to figure out how to stand everything up. And before, we didn't have the fines posted to the water bills, which you're going to do before if you went ahead and leave the house. It cost you $30, I think, or $35 to post the lien. And then you never might get it, so not only are you out the money that you do for less, then you value out the money for the lien. This way, it doesn't cost us anything to put the lien on. I found out looking into other villages, we start putting them on water bills, and probably 80% of the money, because they couldn't turn on water, so they paid the water bill with everything that was left. And they didn't question it, so we got our money back. So that's why we're doing it that way. The last page is just the procedures of how they're going to do it, what they're going to do. I've already talked with Eric. He's got a couple of minor changes, he said. Other than that, I wanted you all to just take a look at it, to go over it. If you have any suggestions or if there's something you want me to explain or you want to add something else to this, just let me know. We have an extra week.
You
want
to bring back
So we're going to bring this back to, you know, we're going to bring it back.
Yeah.
So if there's nothing to do tonight, I just want you to take a look at it, read it, digest it, figure out if there's something else you want to do besides your change, and then we'll talk about it next time.
Will we be doing the grass cutting ourselves as a village?
No, I think we're going to probably hire an outside service to do that.
Okay.
That's why we're charging what we're charging. We'll make a few bucks for our administrative fees on it. And I've already talked to two outside restroom in Cleveland just to get an idea. But I think you could probably get it done for like $100 a lot.
Would it be possible for us to look at in-town vendors?
Oh, yeah. I'll read both of them.
And maybe you can give it to a couple of different or two different. Well, I have one question about this at the next one because I have a lot to say about these fees already. Well, you know, and I brought it like big time real quick. And I've got to say, if somebody's habitually not cutting their grass and they're going to get charged this, you know, you've been warned, you've been given every opportunity, and sometimes the only way you get someone's attention is through their wallet.
I also found out an article that the next community over from us, and well, they just passed an ordinance similar to this, and those prices I got out of there, and they also charged those in another community in the east of us. So I know the grass prices, I mean, I might see mine, but they're in line with what everybody else charges.
It just seems to me that it's astronomical, because we just had somebody cut our grass because we're in the middle of a construction project ourselves, and it's just much easier than we do. And it was only $25. Charge that you're going to be charging to the people, and we're going to take all the administration of it.
So what if somebody can come out and
allow them to do the job and go back? I'm sorry, one thing about this scatter process, we're called a $25 administration fee. Welcome to $125 for cutting fee. That means $125 going into the village's pocket.
Well, then that person's starting to make money. Well, we could find somebody cheaper, I said, but I...
Right. That's why, let's talk about that with that one, because to me that...
Yeah.
Just because I consider it was just a residential lot versus a commercial lot. You have to be charged, I would think, differently, and I'm a smaller lot.
But we'll worry about that later. That's the minor part of it. I think I'm more worried right now about what the procedure, what we're going to do, and the fees we can talk about.
Well, the general things I look at the park, that's the part that really,
we'll work on it. If I can recommend, take a look at what other communities are charging, and I think, you know, I'm not saying that you guys feel comfortable with this, but just take a little research.
They're also going to take that thing by order to turn out the water bill. They have to pay this on top of the tax and water stuff. So you've got to also make sure that it's still, yes, more than what it would cost them because the tax companies do their cutting.
Well,
help them make advantages so they can still afford to get the water back.
Well, it's not so much the people that are paying. If you're talking banks are going to be paying this, the real estate people are going to be paying this. The banks and stuff. You know, years ago, when houses were foreclosed on, banks still maintained them. You didn't have to call them or ask them. Now today you call and ask the bank and they laugh at you and go, yeah, I got 150 houses. Like, I care about cutting grass in your village. You can lead and do whatever you want, but we're not touching it. So when we go broke cutting the grass. So, but the thing is either you get it up front and we'll take care of it, or we'll get it on the backside. So this is our way of getting it on the backside.
So on a foreclosed property, we go in, we cut the grass, or an outside firm cuts the grass, and what do we do with the bill?
We post it on the water bill.
On the water bill.
It's a separate line item. It's not licensed. We'll say, you know, the grass was cut today, and the state that time is in charge. So it will be all separated and itemized out.
And I purchased the house that's been foreclosed for a year, and I come in and say, village, I need my water turned down. I now have to pay that bill?
Whoever's going to do it, but like I said, it's usually not the person. It's the bank.
I'm just saying.
When you negotiate your sale,
yeah,
your lawyer or whomever would know that that's a charge of lien on the property.
Okay.
You as a buyer would then negotiate with the bank that lien to have that taken care of.
So that lien is going to show up if I want to purchase.
Oh, yeah. Which is also a good way in letting the prospective buyer know approximately how long that property has been vacant. So there's just as good, there's maybe some touchy, but
I just wonder if it slips through the cracks and now you have somebody at your door that wants the water on, they say, a $900 bill here, you need to pay that before you
go out. It has to go through the sale.
I just want to verify that.
So far you can take your lawyer, whatever. Okay, next one. Another business, special use permit for the industrial park. We have the two Valentines here tonight that run the industrial park and all that. And along with them, they have one of the potential customers, Mr. Obanoff. I think who everybody probably knows. He runs Obanoff Auctions. He's been around here for more years than all of us. And when we go over the code specifically space of the industrial park that you can't do anything unless it's in an enclosed building. And there's no leeway there. And what we are coming for is Mr. Obadoff would like to purchase a piece of property. He runs about a half a dozen auctions a year. He'd like to run it, but he doesn't need an enclosed building. He wants a place to put the vehicles, the cars, maybe put up a fence around it. Hold an auction, you can do it like 10 days to 2 weeks ahead of time. Hold this auction, within a couple of days after the auction, all the vehicles are gone, the property will be cleaned up, and go on to the next auction. Is that basically the bottom line?
Correct.
And so, we were saying, he said, you know, he'd like to purchase a piece of property, he'd like to do this, but he wants to make sure he can run the auctions there. He goes to the Lake County Fairgrounds.
Right, we rent the fairgrounds now. 4 or 5 cents a year.
So this is a way for us to keep some money in the building, in the village, run some auctions. Again, have to give them a special use permit because it's different than the code allows at this point. And again, before we started getting things worked up and spending a lot of time and effort on this, we've done our investigations already and figured out what the board's feelings were. And yeah, we're bringing in a different type of business and doing something like this.
Maybe I can tell you just a little bit about our operation.
Oh, excuse me, I can ask this out.
Oh, sure.
Well, it's a lot of
times,
so everybody knows
what we're talking about.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Basically, what it is, the outline is heavy black, or black that's owned by the Valley Industrial Company. Yeah. Oh, it's a car building and it shows present building by Magna. Our building is not a lot like. And the dream is the piece of property that Bill and I are discussing and where the audience would be found.
Thank you. Thank you.
Obviously, I am Bill Obadoff. I started Obadoff Auction Service in 1984, so we've been at the business quite a long time. I know several of you here on the board. That's the mayor. I think the advantages of doing this is right now we do an awful lot of sales on the internet. Our building is full of stuff over there. We're constantly turning it over. Stuff gets listed about 10 days, give or take a few hours. It's pretty exact. We collect sales tax on everything that we sell. And of course, a percentage of that comes back to the village. Right now, the stuff that we sell over at the Lake County Fairground 5 times a year, sales tax that's collected there goes to the state, obviously, and a percentage of it to Great Lake. So I think if we can bring some more of that over here, we increase some revenue for the village. The other thing that I discussed with the mayor a while ago is when we have an auction, we have anywhere from 200 to 1,200 people come to the auction. We did the one at Russo Equipment in Gainesville here in the spring. We had 1,200 registered buyers. And every one of those buyers comes with a spouse or business partner or someone, hardly anybody comes by themselves. So they're bringing a lot of eyes into the village. And I think those are, some percentage of those are potential business people that would move to the village. So I think it would be a good thing from that aspect. And we run a pretty neat operation. When we do them at the fairgrounds, we start setting up on Wednesday before the auction. We do all of our auctions on Saturday, so we would create a traffic problem, I don't think, on the weekend in the village. And everything has to be out by 3 o'clock on Monday afternoon. That's the way we run it over there. I think we can stay pretty close to that model right here as well. We would put a fence up, and if we have to, we'd put the, what we call the fence at the slats in, so we could do that as well. We would probably have to gravel it because we'll use it for parking out there, and we'll make arrangements for other parking, off-street parking if need be, if we get that many people. So that's kind of where we're at. I'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone might have.
I presume that the owners don't have any objection to this?
I have a question about this option there for Oxley
computer part?
Open to the public. Yeah. We do, at the fairgrounds right now, we do two a year for the county. We've been doing the county auctions for probably about 15 years. And they bring, any municipality in the county can bring stuff to that auction, what we call a municipal consignment auction. But then we do run other consignment auctions throughout the year. Now, we do a lot of other auctions outside. For instance, this Saturday, we're doing one at the Spring Grove Heating and Air Conditioning Company. They're going out of business. We're going to do that. So that's the kind of thing we do also. But we can bring more of that here we go too, although I don't know that we'd be able to do that outside as easily. Mostly what we're looking at is vehicles, equipment.
So what I'm hearing is if we have an item, a small car, a used car, something that we have clear title to, or our driver, we can actually auction it in town.
Right. Is it the old dump truck that you're asking to get rid of?
I don't know if everybody knows Mr. Obanoff, but I've got to tell you, listening to him during an auction, you need to go do this. It's electrifying and it's
fun. Oh, we try to have fun at our auction. So you were at one that we just did, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, sucked me in.
I've been taking vehicles to the different fairgrounds for 20 years.
Yeah, we do a lot of stuff for the Brown Lake area as well.
You say mostly vehicles. Do you ever do anything outside of vehicles?
Oh, yeah. We do things, but that wouldn't lend itself to outside. At the fairgrounds, we do it in the building. We put everything inside the building, but we sell a lot of there. We sell a lot of police confiscated goods, Waukegan especially. I think the last one we did there, we did over 300 bicycles. And hand tools, anything from drills to CD players, leather jackets. Pardon? We started out, when we started out the business, that's mainly what we did was estate auctions and antique auctions and that kind of thing, but that got to a point where we couldn't make any money out of it anymore. Advertising is pretty expensive to do. We spend anywhere from $5,000 to $8,000 advertising in auction now. We mail out flyers, do newspaper ads.
So Bill, roughly, you talked about this, the sales tax that it would bring. Do you have an estimate of what that would be? I mean, you're still going to have to do auctions at the county property occasionally, right?
Well, no. See, the county tore down the building that we used to use.
Oh, okay.
So they won't allow us to do auctions if they don't have a place for us anymore. That's why we take them over to the fairgrounds.
Yeah. Well, I mean the fairground. You'll still have to do some auctions.
Yeah, we'll probably have to do some there. Yeah. But we're going to try and cut down the small stuff and do more just of the vehicles and the equipment, and that's the kind of thing we would do here.
Yeah. Do you have any idea of what kind of sales tax revenue we're looking at?
It's really hard to tell because I don't know how much of it we can bring here, but we probably do somewhere near like $1.5 million a year that we collect sales tax on outside of the stuff that's on the internet. And that's about $3.5 million that we're doing right now. And we've been in town now about 5 years, I guess. We were on Orchard for 4, and then the first of the year we moved over to Magna, first of January.
The lots on either side of this are empty?
Yes, they are.
So plenty of room for expansion when you bring everything here.
Yes. We've even talked about the possibility of maybe using the spare lot for parking if that became a problem, which I don't think it would be, especially on a Saturday.
So we can assume that you are okay with this as well, right?
I wouldn't be here if I wasn't.
Actually, when we had a meeting with our business, the original businessman summit meeting, and they came to us afterwards, so we had an idea that the administration would listen to us, so he proposed it to Anna and myself, and we were soon to sit down. So, you know, Yeah, so it's been in the code, and it's not what's been allowed, but, you know, it's time to make some changes, so it's one of those changes.
So how big of a deal is this for us?
It's very small, but yeah.
No, it's the same. There would be a change to your zoning code. So it would be an application either. It would be an application by the applicant, by the owner. It can be an application with the stuff as well. And it would be an application to amend the zoning code. And it would go in front of the PCZBA first. They would consider it. And then upon their recommendation for approval or denial, it would be sent up to the zoning board for consideration. So it's a little bit of a process because it does involve going in front of PCZBA. They only meet once a month. But if we have direction from the board to move forward, then I believe Russ and myself and these gentlemen can sit down and discuss exactly how we want to put this in our code.
Right. That could work out. We will allow chance to say that. We will vote. So.
Oh, I encourage the board. I encourage the board to move forward on this. You know, number one, it's not a new idea. It's not a new plan. It's not a new business. Mr. Obanoff's name has been here. It's synonymous with great success and quality. It's not even a question of that. His name is an icon. And to be able to invite him into our village and the number of people that you're talking to come into that industrial park that have to drive through our town to get it, the more eyes that we have, I'm 100% supportive.
Another aspect of that is that people that come here stop off and buy gasoline, some of the
food
and groceries. And
so you want whatever?
Yeah. We do used to have a lunch vendor at our place. We hardly ever do an auction without that.
Cool.
Huge issues. I mean, they can barely use their conference room sometimes. leak and the roof, and that's just the damage that that's creating, and we're taking tens of hours to try and address these issues over the years, when we can have somebody who comes in and does it right, gets it done.
Right. So I just, somebody, when they were telling me that that was happening, I said, okay, so I went out, like I said, this is what I got that I'd like to bring that to the board for approval, and see your hands.
Yeah, I would support it, and too, I had a conversation with Ron earlier about the, we talked about the backup generators. We had originally budgeted $50,000 for that, for one, and we're going to get two for $35,000, so we have
the excess money to pay for the other building.
So,
and I think that's
the result
that it takes
for
that.
I don't think you're saving, but something else, Ron, there's certainly a good application for it.
And we'll make sure that not want that we get this in the budget, so it's going to pass.
Yeah,
we don't like it.
Yeah.
Very good. Move forward on this?
Yes.
Thank you, everybody.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Russ. Nothing listed under police? And one more topic, administration. Features DUI towing. We have this listed as an item. This came up for discussion, and I don't think it's really ready to be discussed here, is it?
No, because we need enough information here, so it's time to just pass on this tonight, and I'm not even sure. I'll have it on the thing for the next maybe meeting or two, but I don't think we're going to get to this until sometime in the middle of the month.
Thank you. Suggested new topics?
Well,
that's open for business. Yes, it is.
And in that thing, I think we should start discussing a PR plan for our village, and how we would like to address the whole issue in traffic.
Mm-hmm. We'll get there. We'll get there. Mr. Yale, would you explain our executive session?
Yes, I am looking for a motion to adjourn to executive session under the Open Meetings Act, Section 2C2, to discuss collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees.
Okay. Motion made by Trustee Trippin, seconded by Trustee Clements. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yes, absolutely. First of all, I'd like to thank you all for coming to public tonight. Very good meeting. Thanks for being here. Kurt, would you say something? Just, you know. I almost forgot you were there.
Thank you.
Adjourned at 8:57.